Hello everyone and welcome to This Nomad Life. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee, of YouTube Minivan Lee. I live full time in my minivan I have for 5 years. And we also have Paul here.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm now full time nomad and have been for about 8 months, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm learning a lot, and I've got a good teacher that I'm traveling with now, and that helps a great deal.
We do have fun, don't we?
We certainly do.
Now, we're in Paul's studio. This is his Ram ProMaster studio, and we're doing this podcast, and we want to talk about longevity. We have been reading and watching and learning about this new phenomenon, this new area of study. There's so much new research out about how to live just a little bit longer in good health, not just living longer, but living longer in great health and in great joy and happiness in doing it.
Well, Lee, I'm sure you would agree with this. I would love to live longer, but I want to be healthy.
Exactly. You know, nobody wants to live a long time in suffering, and that's what happens these days. They live and they linger on, but they're not having a good time, and they're very unhealthy.
Right. So let's talk about some of those points. What are the important things that we've been learning about that help us to live that longer life and live it in a healthy, wonderful way?
Well, one area that I was riveted learning about was sleep, by a sleep scientist, and his name is Matthew Walker. He listed so much information about sleep. What is it, why it's important, and how it all adds up to either longevity or quick death.
Very, very important.
It is. And he says that all stages of sleep are critical to our health, longevity, and mental stability. We know when we don't sleep well, we're just not going to have a good day. But if this lingers on, it can actually kill you. They did a study to determine the importance of sleep and to staying alive with sleep. And after studying rats, scientists found that sleep deprivation was as, if not more, detrimental of death than starving them.
Isn't that amazing?
This study was done sort of in the 50s. It was a little controversial. It would be now just starving rats. But they did this and they found that sleep was so very important. They actually died more quickly with sleep deprivation than lack of food.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It truly is.
Yes. Now, dreaming is another very important thing.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You have spoken to me about dreams.
Yes.
And quite often you'll say, did you dream anything last night? And I'm not sure at this point what that says about me, but I hardly ever remember my dreams.
You don't remember your dreams. And after I read some of this, you will come to the conclusion of probably why. You shut off your front lobe, your consciousness. You have a good shutdown system. And they don't mingle. Your subconscious mind doesn't mingle too much with your conscious mind. That's why you don't really remember them. But you do dream.
But is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's not detrimental to your health to not remember your dreams.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So you're going to live, honey. You're going to live. But dreaming is so very important. In the rat study, they deprived the rats of either REM deep sleep or non-REM deep sleep. Now, REM deep sleep is rapid eye movement, and that's when you're dreaming. Non-deep REM sleep happens more in the beginning of our sleep, like the first half. And then the second half is when we do a lot of our dreaming. But we dream 5 to 6 times a day. Everybody does.
Well, I would love to remember dreams. I think. I mean, I don't think they're nightmares. I think they're dreams, and it would be very interesting. Once in a great while, I'll remember, oh yeah, I remember dreaming this or that. And it's very interesting to me, but it's very seldom that I remember.
Yep. Now, they found rats died quicker from loss of REM sleep than they did of non-REM sleep. That's how important dreaming is. Now, if they lost both, they would eventually die. But what happened was they died quicker. They died in 20 days rather than 40 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the rats died from lack of both sleep stages, but quicker from lack of dream sleep. So we all need every single stage of sleeping. Now, dreaming, he said, Matthew Walker said, that dreaming is nature's way to work out problems and get resolved to issues in a person's life, including trauma. Trauma and traumatic experiences can be resolved during dreaming time. And that dreaming does use energy. It's like overnight therapy. It's an emotional first aid, basically.
Mm.
And nocturnal soothing balm, he called it. It's a nocturnal soothing balm. You feel better the next day about situations when you have time to dream about them. There was another study they found of people. They would have people write down their dreams. They found people that were going through real traumatic experiences, a lot of them through a real nasty divorce or something like that. And they found that the people who actually dreamed about that particular situation, they found on the long haul, a couple of years after, they were doing better because they actually dreamt about that. And then the ones who didn't dream about that situation, they were fine, but they found them a little bit more depressed, like in a couple of years down the road.
Very interesting.
It is. Lucid dreaming. This is so interesting. The moment you become aware that you are dreaming while you are dreaming, that's called lucid dreaming.
Wow.
And that's something that you're not doing. They do say that 20% of people lucid dream. The other 80% don't do that. I tend to remember my dreams, so I'm thinking that my conscious mind meets my subconscious mind a little bit. Here's a question for you, Paul. I was thinking about this. So does that mean, you know, when we're meditating, we're kind of going into like the gamma waves of our brain, which is more the subconscious mind?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is meditation a loose form of lucid dreaming? Because even Dr. Joe Dispenza mentions that it's like when we're meditating, our subconscious mind and our conscious mind have a chance to mingle
mm-hmm.
with each other.
Very cool.
So maybe you are doing a little bit more lucid dreaming when you meditate.
Right.
Than you realize.
That could be.
Yeah. So dreams evaporate very quickly. So to remember a dream, you first rehearsed your dream in your mind right away. Matthew Walker said, if you can just lay there and just rehearse it. If you remember it, rehearse it. Just keep going over it. Okay, now what was that again? And then go over it again. Then you can actually open your eyes and quick write it down. But it just evaporates so quickly.
Hmm.
So you don't remember any part of your dreams whatsoever, ever, or sometimes?
Usually when I remember something about what I've dreamt, it's just bits and pieces. It's not a long story.
Okay.
It's just bits and pieces of it.
Well, do you ever remember the story, even if it's a short part of the story?
Oh, yeah. Occasionally.
Well, then you're doing the same as everybody else, really.
So I'm not alone.
No.
I'm part of that 80%.
Well, no. I mean, if you're remembering at least little snippets of it. Yeah. Well, you're going to love this. Yeah. When we go into a dream sleep, our brain paralyzes our body. Oh, yeah. We are utterly incarcerated by our mind. We are in lockdown. Your mind paralyzes the body so we can safely dream and not act out our dreams.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is wild.
The difference between REM and non-REM begin in the brainstem. When we start to dream, all types of activity happens in our brain, but also a signal is sent to our spinal cord and voluntary skeletal muscles to shut down. But our involuntary muscles, such as heart, breathing, etc., they keep going. So we don't have to worry that somehow we're going to become paralyzed
and not breathe. Well, that's good to know. Yeah.
Exactly. So many parts of our brain is lit up during dream sleep. There's a whole lot going on. And even more so sometimes than when we are awake.
Hmm.
He said our brains show a lot more activity while we're dreaming. But the CEO of our brain, which is the frontal cortex, is actively inhibited when we go into dream stages of sleep. Our logical brain is shut down. So it's no wonder that dreams are so illogical and hypersensitive and filled with lots of memories and emotions.
Hmm.
Our front lobe has been paralyzed and shut down. But with lucid dreaming, again, let's go back to that. The frontal cortex comes back online. This can also help you control what you dream and add elements to resolving any emotional issues while dreaming. Interesting.
Very interesting.
But one thing about this is that we need to sleep and we need to dream and we need all of our stages for health. Now I want to wrap this up with something also really interesting. This explains why we might seem to wake up during a dream but feel paralyzed, like someone is in the room with us, terrorizing us, controlling our body. Have you ever done that?
I don't think so.
I have, and that is scary. I know a lot of people have felt that, where they feel like they want, they're awake, but they're paralyzed and they want to scream out and they can't do that. And he said it usually makes them feel that somebody else is in the room. I actually thought that there must have been something demonic in the room. Now I understand what was going on with that. And it might also explain alien abductions, because they only seem to happen in the nighttime. Isn't that something?
Well, when you say alien abduction,
yes.
I assume you're meaning that the person that claims the alien abduction,
right, exactly,
really was just dreaming.
Exactly. Now, the first half of the night is usually non-REM, and then the second half is where our dreaming occurs. So as we approach morning, the body begins to release our paralysis of the body, and we can begin to experience lucid dreaming. And it also explains this terror dreams. The conscious mind moves too quickly ahead of REM sleep, but we are still in a paralysis. So they meet, and then we can't get out of it. But if we just relax, we can finally come out of it, and the paralysis will start to dissipate on it. So.
Well, that's good to know, because otherwise you'd be terrified.
But yeah, well, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have it. I've had it probably a few times in my life, and I remember it was just a few years ago that I had one.
Hmm.
Yeah. So another thing too is mood before bed affects dreams. So don't go to bed angry, everybody, right? So yeah, this is all about dreaming. So I hope this was interesting. I found it extremely interesting.
It is very interesting. Well, Lee, another very important part of being healthy and living longer when you're feeling healthy is exercise. And I have come around quite a bit. I used to spend lots of time in a lazy boy recliner.
And shame on you.
I know. Shame on me. It's very true. Because you know what? Since I have been trying to get the exercise that I should, mostly walking. I have done some stretching and some small barbell lifting.
Weight training,
kind of thing. Thanks to you kind of leading the way, absolutely leading the way. And I feel so much better. I have lost weight. I've lost nearly 40 pounds this year. I feel like a new man. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Now, if I could just start remembering those dreams, I'd feel a lot better about the whole
well,
thing.
Well, you need to resolve your emotional issues. Yeah, right.
All right.
So what have you learned, though? We've been learning so much. And I know Peter Attia we watched a video on him. What did he have to say about exercise that was so interesting?
Well, for one thing, at my age of 74, he does not suggest that I begin to train for a marathon. It's not how strong and how fierce and how difficult the exercise is at this age, but it's more getting more walking in, keeping those bones moving, exercising those muscles and doing that kind of thing.
Well, you know, Paul, he had a really interesting about different ages, what we should do at different times at different ages. What should we be doing when we're younger? And what should we be doing when we're older?
Well, what he was saying was, if you're going to be a marathon runner, do it before you turn 40.
Yes.
You know, it's a number, but your body is going to help you much more at that age than it would as twice that age.
Right.
Your body may rebel if you try to train for a marathon and you haven't done it before and you're in your 70s. Oh my goodness, that's...
Well, even he said at 40, that after 40, if you're training, if you're running more, it was even a certain point, you're actually taking years away. Now you're taking years away again. You're actually decreasing your longevity by running so too much after 40.
Hurting your body.
You're hurting your body. You're subtracting years away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now you're subtracting. You're going into the negative. And there's a lot, and if you're going to climb Mount Everest, do it in your 20s, early 30s.
There you go.
Don't do it when you're older. It's going to stress your body, and it's going to reverse any kind of asset that you would gain from that, a kind of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And so what did Peter Attia say that he was training for? At this point, when he found all this information, he called it a centurion. He was going for a centurion marathon. He was training for his centurion life, and he had a list of things that he wanted to be able to do when he was 100.
Oh, yeah. And by centurion, you mean when he's 100 years old.
Right, exactly. He called it his new training method.
Right.
His centurion training, his going for that sort of Olympics, you know, the Centurion Olympics, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think some of those things were being able to get up from the floor without putting your hands on the floor.
Right, without any help from your hands, being able to get up on your own without help from your hands.
Yeah. And jumping over a 2-foot-high hurdle.
He said, well, yeah, he went for 3. I say 2 for me because I'm shorter. Do I have to do a 3? Yeah, a 3-foot. He does a 3-foot hurdle. Mm-hmm. And there were like 18 things. He didn't list them all, but he devised them on his own. What he wanted to do when he was 100.
Right, which is very cool.
And so now he's training for that. No pressure. So I found that information very helpful. I don't run. I know that you have people in your family that run, and they run regularly.
Yep. My oldest son, Glenn, is an avid runner. He runs 6 days a week, and he could run, I believe he's told me, between 6 and 8 miles a day.
Right.
And
yeah.
He does this first thing in the morning, and he loves it. He loves the euphoria, I believe, that it gets him.
Right, you do get high from it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a high from that.
But
yeah,
I sent him a link to this talk because I wanted him to hear what this other guy had to say about it, because Glenn is now 50. I just wanted to make sure that he was aware that some people think, you should lighten up on that a little bit. I don't know that he'd want to, but haven't talked to him about it yet, so we'll see.
Well, I know Peter Attia said that he was also doing the same thing, but he's pulled back on that.
Mm.
And now he's totally revamped his whole exercise program, So, I was never a runner. I like to walk. And I like to kind of get my speed up a little bit when I'm walking, because I want to get it done also. I want to get on with what I do. But we stretch now. We have our stretching. I don't do any full strength yoga anymore. There's certain yoga exercises that I've had to kind of tweak. because I was, you want to put your arms behind your back and you go look down. That was hurting my shoulders. I knew if you hurt yourself, there's no fun in that. Then sure. You're pulled out of the game. So I don't stretch my shoulders backward anymore. And there's certain things that I just won't do. But I still stretch, and I've kind of tweaked. What I did was I sort of put a marriage in with some yoga, with Pilates, and then I've had ballet training, so some of a stretching would be for ballet too. Okay. So I've kind of married those three little activities.
Well, I've watched you go through your exercises, and it's amazing the balance that you still have and the ability to.
Yeah.
Well, like you, when you slackline.
Yeah.
I've actually tried that, and I didn't do too bad, but wow, it's...
Yeah.
You talk about having balance and using muscles, and using muscles that you maybe have not used before. That'll let you know where you're at, and it was very eye-opening.
So we've been making some changes.
We have.
I know. And since I've listened to this Matthew Walker about the sleep, I love to sleep. I really do. And I don't sleep in. What I like to do is go to bed early so that I can get up. I'm an early riser. I'm a morning person. But I want to make sure that I get to sleep early so I can get all my sleep, because now I actually know how crucial it is to longevity. Now, do we want to live longer? I mean, I do. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun. I really do.
Well, Lee, you mentioned your sleep, and you like to sleep, and you need your sleep. On average, how long do you sleep a night, would you say?
I have to have at least 8 hours in order to have a good day, a really good day. But I've been known in my life to get 9 or 10.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to getting sleep and going to bed early.
Well, I too like to go to bed early, usually 9 o'clock or so. You can bet that I'll be heading in that direction. And then I'm usually up at 5.
Okay.
So that's what, yeah. I'm talking 8 hours or
okay,
so.
Okay, good. And we need good sleep.
Gotta have that rest. Gotta have those good dreams, right?
I know. And those good, REM, the cycles and the stages of sleep. And then we've added in our exercise. Yeah, I mean, there are some changes coming up for the both of us.
Absolutely. Well, Lee, in our journey down the road of healthiness.
And longevity.
We've also, of course, you've got to talk about diet and healthy eating. And I've made quite a few changes.
I would say you've made some. Wow.
Well, I'm still getting into it. I found that there are a lot of things that are on the good list and a lot of things that are on the bad list. But if you just be sensible and try to eat sensibly, and the items that... I'm not on a diet, and I don't want to be on a diet, but I want to eat the right foods. I don't want to put anything in my body that, which is strange, because I do have one very bad habit that I'm going to take care of very soon. And that's smoking, everyone, if you don't know. But I think that by improving our diet, it has made an amazing difference in how I feel.
Well, your diet is what you eat.
Absolutely.
Being on a diet to lose it, that would be more called a weight loss program or something.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm certainly not looking to lose any more weight. As a matter of fact, I'm looking to put on a little weight. But
well, you want to put on muscle, honey.
Sure.
Put on some more muscle. Got to do some more. I think we both need to do some more weight training.
Mm-hmm.
And get that muscle, because as we get older, after 60, we lose every year, if we don't maintain it, we lose 3% of our muscle mass. Do you know how big that is? 3% is a lot.
Well, and if you're talking
every year. And that's why people get so thin. They don't have muscles to protect their bones. They fall, they break a hip. There you go. That's why people break hips. They don't have enough muscle. I mean, I'm 69 years old. I fell off of my cycline a couple times. Not that far, but I did fall. And I got back up. It's like, okay, because I've got a good muscle structure around my bones. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what did we find out? You tell our listeners, our wonderful friends out there, what have we found out? What is the key word that we need to avoid here?
Well, the key word seems to be lectins, L-E-C-T-I-N. That is something that can be found in almost all plants and animals. But lectins can be a good thing or a very bad thing. And we started watching some YouTube videos and doing...
What's his name?
Dr. Stephen Gundry.
Yes.
Who can be, in some people's eyes, a rather controversial figure. He has some pretty strong ideas, about, especially about lectins and about things that contain a lot of lectins. And the problem with lectins, as I understand it, is that they can attach to carbohydrates, and we're talking about sugar, and they can affect the body's ability to absorb the good things that it should absorb to be healthy. Well, tell us what you think about Dr. Stephen Gundry.
Well, I saw him on YouTube a few times, and he would interrupt when I was, you know, here's an ad. I couldn't wait to skip it. He was always talking about tomatoes, and I love tomatoes, and I thought, I can't stand this guy.
Because he hates tomatoes.
Well, he's talking about things. I'm like, oh, here comes another fad, you know. Yeah, okay, something, you know, remember, well, you can't eat eggs or you can't eat this. And I'm not for fads anymore. I've tried the keto diet. I did a little bit of that. No, I don't. If you got to eliminate so many foods, areas out of a diet, then I'm not into that. And then, of course, I never tried the pig yet, the paleo diet. You've got veganism, which I spent a little time there, but and then vegetarianism. Yeah, okay. I like to eat what I like to eat, but I am paying attention. I have actually, Dr. Stephen Gundry answered one of my questions on Instagram. I was so excited. Or one of his assistants did, but he did answer my question for me. I was very impressed with that.
Right, right.
But lectins, yeah, lectins are, they make us feel bad. They take away years off of our life. They age us terribly. And we just don't feel well eating a lot of lectins, and a lot of grains have lectins. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people have gone gluten-free, I think, because they weren't feeling well eating all those grains. It was making them sick.
Which contain so many lectins.
Exactly.
And in case you folks aren't aware, we're talking about things that are heavy in lectins are beans, some kinds of nuts, tomatoes, as Lee mentioned, potatoes, peas, soy, barley, eggplant, a number of fruits, and wheat. But some of these things, like fruits, I believe it was Gundry, or was it Dr. Weil? I've seen some of his YouTube videos,
right,
also.
Right.
And maybe both of them say that, yeah, fruits are fine. They contain a lot of lectins, but if you eat fruits in season, rather than when they've been stored in a warehouse for 5 months,
right,
you're doing just fine. There's no problem with that whatsoever. You know, back in my grandparents' day, the old saying of an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, that was true because they were eating fresh apples. They weren't eating things that had been stored in a warehouse for
right.
a long time.
Although they did have root cellars.
Well, they did.
Yeah, and you could keep, apples would keep well in a root cellar.
That is true.
Along with, what?
Potatoes,
right,
onion.
A root vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So Gundry, I remember he said we should be eating fungus, tubulars, and roots, right?
Right.
Right. But potatoes, white potatoes, have a lot of lectins.
Yes, they do.
But sweet potatoes and yams are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cabbage.
Cruciferous foods.
I love cabbage. And I've been eating more cabbage than I... having a long, long time.
And we're tooting, too.
And you know what, folks? Not only are we tooting, but the how do you say this?
We've been pooping.
The poops have improved.
I know, yes.
And that's why I feel, and not just from cabbage, but
yeah.
I'm feeling that more regular than I have in years, ladies and gentlemen. There, I've said it, and I'm glad. Anyway.
I think what maybe we can explain that we have learned is the bacteria that's in our digestive system. That when we don't eat proper foods or with a lot of lectins and we're getting too much sugar, we're getting too many carbohydrates, we are creating bad bacteria in our digestive system, which I never understood what a leaky gut was. Oh, you have a leaky gut. You know, well, what's up? Really? It's leaky? Well, what he means by that is that the bad bacteria in our system can overtake when we eat too many sugars and too many carbs, which turns to sugar with lectins in it, and it makes our intestinal walls and our stomach permeable. And the good bacteria will make it impermeable,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll feel better. We'll live longer, we'll be happier, and we will have more energy. And they said, like, the good bacteria is we are, what did he say? We're nothing more than, we're nothing more than beings that house, we're like a condominium for bacteria.
Yeah.
That's on the outside of our body too. We have little germs and bacteria that we live with.
And a lot of those are good and
right.
necessary for a healthy life.
And when we treat them well, they treat us well.
Well, if you just, you know, we've been to the mall a few times here in Tucson, and folks, this is no secret. If you just look around, you'll find something is wrong with the American diet. Look at the size of so many people. And I'm not trying to be critical here. I'm just stating a fact. So many people are overweight and just, I hate the word really because it's so critical, but morbidly obese.
Yes.
Why is that? Because if you drink fruit juices, there's more sugar in there than you can shake a stick at. If you're drinking soft drinks and eating at McDonald's, eating all kinds, not just McDonald's, but other fast food joints too, and eating, which I used to do a lot of, and now I haven't had much. I have, you know, I'm sure my son is listening, and yes, I've been to In-N-Out Burger a couple of times in the last month. But
but still, yeah.
I am eating so much healthier, and I've lost a lot of weight, and it hasn't been a struggle. So I'm loving it.
Right.
I am just loving it. Never felt better in my life.
Yes. Well, it just makes for a happy life when you feel well. And a lot of depression, they have now found that they're like, you go to like some of these schools, or even they've done studies on prisons. When they changed the diet of the prisoners, there's less conflict going on inside the prisons. And I've seen some schools where they actually changed the diet. They were like, they were special schools for kids who were really troubled.
Mm.
Like, you know, they were in gangs and things like that. Those type of children and teenagers. And they changed their diet to like more raw foods and produce and foods in its more simplest form. And their whole world changed. They learned quicker. They were more studious. They stopped fighting amongst each other.
It's amazing, huh?
Yes, the diet. And
right.
What we have radically changed our diet over the past couple weeks. And the one thing, oh my gosh, everybody, our listeners, we're becoming connoisseurs of olive oil.
Huh.
Oh,
it's good
yeah.
stuff.
Well, what does
Very
Stephen Gundry
stuff.
Say? The only reason to eat anything is to get olive oil into our system. We should be even taking shot glasses of it, because nothing, it cannot coagulate inside of our body. It moves everything through and it creates the good bugs. Olive oil, oh my gosh. And we've been, what, mushrooms?
Mushrooms, yep.
Cabbage, cruciferous.
Sauerkraut.
Eggs, onions, garlic.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yes. We've even been, when we eat a salad, We now make our own salad dressing, right. Olive oil and unfiltered apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. and some fresh herbs and...
It's great stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And I must say, because cheeses...
Oh yeah,
The I'll call them American cheeses that are very processed and very pasteurized and all this other kind of thing. Well, when I heard that I should stay away from those, I'm a cheese lover from the get-go.
Me too.
But one of the cheeses that I love is yeah. feta cheese.
Oh my gosh.
From Greece. And oh my goodness, we put that on salads. I put feta cheese inside of a two-egg omelet, and it's delicious.
Oh my gosh.
And just living it up. So
I could get, yeah, I can live without Swiss cheese and cheddar cheese now. As long as I have some feta. Not every single meal, but...
Sure,
yeah.
sure. No, and yeah. everything moderation, right?
Yes, but we've been doing a lot of the olive oil. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes. So our diet has changed. Our exercise is changing. And we're making sure... My sleep really hasn't changed much. But at least I understand how critical and what it means to actually sleep well.
Right. Well, folks, I hope that discussing these three parts of healthy living might give you something to think about. And a lot of you are probably yards and miles ahead of me on healthy living. But hey, I'm making a go of it. I'm starting, and I must say, it works. It feels very, very good. I feel better than I have in ages. I've lost weight, and I know for a fact, after being tested here a short time ago, that my diabetes, type 2 diabetes, my A1C numbers are so low that technically I don't even have diabetes anymore. How about that?
You're not diabetic. You're a very healthy person. And we also, at some point right down the road, we want to talk more about the mind over body, mind-body connection. Because there is so much going on out there. As Dr. Joe says, we know that these things are possible. Now we want to know how to do it. This has been textbook that we can heal ourselves and we can do so much with food. And that as textbook, now we just want to know instructional how to make it happen.
Right.
How
right.
to make this happen. Yeah.
And follow through on it. So.
And a lot of the, I'm speaking now to a lot of our YouTube listeners, because they've been saying, one of my last videos was, changes are coming. And big changes too, even, we'll talk about our big tent that we got coming and everything. But we wanted to put this podcast out so that they could listen to this too, so they could get a pre-information on
a sneak preview,
thank you. I couldn't think of the word, a sneak preview on what's been happening in our lives. Changes are coming, and we all feel changes anyways coming. We just are taking even another step toward changes in us and going for the Centurion Olympics coming up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be wild.
Yes, it will. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this Nomad Life.
Yes, thank you all very much for tuning in. We appreciate that. And hey, it was really good. We got a couple of voice comments through the internet last week, and it was wonderful to hear from you folks. We'd really encourage more of you to take the link that is below our podcast information and leave us a voice message. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments, and let us know how you're doing out there.
And guess what? We're going to leave one back for you.
There you go.
You get your own personal message from Lee and Paul.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you so much.
All right. Thank you, folks. And once again, be cool.